I've entitled this lesson, "Doest Thou Well to Be Angry?" If you have a memory that is jogged by that phrase, you may know where it comes from. It comes from the book of Jonah. At the end of the book of Jonah, that's a question that God asks Jonah, the prophet. I'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the lesson, but I just wanted to let you know where I got the title. And it's a good question. It's a question for us to consider. Are you doing well in any anger that you may have? Is it appropriate? Is it right? Are you happy that you're angry in that issue? Or perhaps God is not happy with you. The verses that were read by Rodney read it. Yes. Correct, yes. In Mark chapter 3, are an insight into Jesus. Now, from this event, we get several insights into our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things we learn is that he was not a stranger to the house of worship. Another thing we learn about Jesus in Mark chapter 3 is he was accustomed to challenging religious ideas of the day. Another thing we can learn here is that he understood what the Sabbath was for. If you'll notice the miracle that took place and the reaction of the people and his reaction to them, he understood a proper application of the Sabbath. And then we also learn of Jesus, he was sympathetic to people who were suffering and who had hardships and difficulties in their life. But the other thing we learn from here is that he got angry. Now this is an aspect of Jesus that probably we don't know as much about. In fact, a lot of people would never think of Jesus being angry, but there were times, not often, but there were times when Jesus could get angry. In fact, the scripture right there tells us that he looked around upon them with anger. He's not pictured being angry a lot, because it would spoil, I think, the greater image that Jesus wanted us to understand about him. He didn't want us to see him as angry all the time. Jesus wasn't angry all the time, but there were occasions when he could feel anger toward a person, a people, or a situation. In John chapter 2, he cleansed the temple. I can guarantee you that there was some anger emotion there as he saw God's house being misused. In Matthew chapter 23, he rebukes the Pharisees in a very strong way, and that's the final rift between Jesus and the Pharisees. He's given them 3.5 years to hear him, listen to him, to change their ways, but in Matthew 23, his long treatise to them is a very strong rebuke to the Pharisees, and it kind of seals the deal. It gets them to that point where they finally make the final plans to put him to death. His anger in Mark chapter 3 was because he was grieved. And why was he grieved? He was grieved because of the hardness of another group of people's hearts toward a situation that he wanted them to be sensitive to. Now you notice it says he looked on them with anger. It doesn't say he said anything. Showed that he had control over his speech. And we're going to talk about anger today. He was recognized by the witnesses there as angry, but he did not sin in any way because he spoke no words. And anger sometimes causes people to say things that are not good. Over the course of the last several years, I have preached lessons on holding grudges, on being impatient, on the heart being the source of evil. I've spoken on the idea of murdering people by speech from Galatians 5. I've talked about envy and the danger of the sin of envy. I've talked about the use and the control of the tongue of speech. I've talked about covetousness, and I've talked about criticism. So in other words, I have tried to address specific sins over the course of years of coming here to preach that I think are important for us to consider. What about anger? Let's talk about anger this morning. And we have 5 points to consider in our lesson this morning. And I had a copy of the bulletin with me, and I can't find it now. Does anybody have an extra copy that I can use? Thank you, Dan. I had one with me, and then I must have laid it down someplace. 5 points, quickly on this. 5 points. Anger is. What is anger? Well, anger has various definitions coming from the Greek language and also from the English language. Let me quote to you certain words that are used to define anger. Snorting, indignation, fury, heat. And heat is a big one because anger is a way of expressing emotional heat toward a situation. Bitter of soul, burning, smoke, full of bile. All of those things are actual definitions concerning anger. Webster says it is a strong feeling excited by a real or supposed injury, often accompanied by a desire to take vengeance. It is wrath, or it is rage, it is wrath, it is fury. And sometimes the word seething, when something is seething inside of you, it can be resulting from anger. It is a universal thing. God made us with the ability to be angry. It's not as though it's some unusual thing. It is something that we are made to experience. It's one of many emotions that humans have as we are created by God. It's a very common response of nearly all people at some time. Someone who says they never get angry is probably either without feeling or they'll lie about other things. So, you know, anger is a real thing, and we should face up to it as reality. It's a reality check for us. Everyone gets angry from time to time. The issue is, what do we do with the anger? Does it control us, or do we control it? Anger itself is not sin, but often leads to sin. Anger itself is not sin. But anger is such a dangerous emotion that it can sometimes lead to sinful things done in speech or in action. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about. Number two, anger is because there are reasons behind our anger that say a lot about us. And this is important. What makes me angry, what makes you angry, says a lot about you. Trivial things that make people angry say that that person lives on a trivial or a shallow level. Serious, important issues that make a person angry means that person is living their life according to a higher and a nobler and a more important purpose. We get angry for many reasons, and it is why we do get angry that's important to understand. Now, we don't have time this morning to look at all of the examples in the Bible of anger. There are quite a few. There are many examples of people getting angry for a number of various reasons in Scripture. And so I'll refer to them. I won't even read them necessarily, but if you want to write them down as things you can look at yourself, you can look at these things to see reasons why individuals got angry. Sometimes we get blocked in something we want to do. Something is an obstacle. We want to do something, and an obstacle presents itself, and that one of the reactions is anger. That's something we all can identify with and understand. Sometimes we get angry because of being hurt, and we respond to want to hurt back. When we get hurt, the defense mechanism sets in. When we get hurt, there are two things we can do. We can flee or fight. To flee means to run away from it and not face it and deal with it. To fight means you have to have the energy to fight, and anger gives you the energy to fight in a situation where one has been hurt. That's just kind of the way we are made up inside. There are examples in Scripture, and I won't refer to the, I won't read each one of these, but Moses was angry at Pharaoh in Exodus 11, verse 8. He was angry at the unreasonable behavior of Pharaoh because he wanted Pharaoh to let the people go. Pharaoh kept saying no. And finally Moses says, this is the 10th time, now you're going to undergo a curse. You're going to undergo something that will be most painful and difficult to deal with. So that was Exodus 11. Sometimes we get angry because we are disappointed in another person, and we're disappointed in the way they have conducted themselves. We get angry at that situation. Exodus 32:19, Moses was angry when he came down from the mount, and the people had turned the gold into a golden calf, and he got so angry he took the tablets of stone, just threw them down in a rage, and they broke apart that had the Ten Commandments written on them. In 2 Samuel 12 and verse 5, Nathan comes to David and confronts David with a parable. And the parable was basically a story about what David had done with Bathsheba. Well, David heard the parable. He had not yet made application to himself, and he was angry at the man who had done this thing in the parable. And then Nathan says, you are the man. And suddenly the anger that David felt toward the fellow who he thought had offended, he realizes he's talking to himself. He's talking about himself. In Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 6, Nehemiah was upset because of the enslavement and the usury that was taking place and the misuse of people at a time when the people need to come together to build the city. Sometimes people get angry because they've been outsmarted. In the book of Judges, you have in Judges 14, verse 19, Samson. Samson and the riddle. Samson is a most curious character in Scripture. He is listed as a faithful child of God in Hebrews chapter 11. But what Samson did was, Samson had two basic problems. He had a problem with his anger, and he had a problem with women. And his anger got him into trouble. He told a riddle, and then the people he told the riddle to went to his wife, found out the answer to the riddle. They come back, give him the answer, and Samson was all upset because they had the answer to the riddle, and he went into a rage over that situation. He killed 30 guys because of that. You know, that's anger. You know, anger management is needed there. Sometimes people get angry because someone won't take your side. In other words, I feel I'm in the right. Won't you come over to my side and defend me be the one that stands by me? And what happened with Saul and his son Jonathan is an example of that. In 1 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 30, there is anger that is expressed here concerning Saul and his son Jonathan. Sometimes people get angry because they have been shamed or they've been embarrassed. In 1 Samuel 20, verse 34, Jonathan and Saul, again, a situation comes up here. In Esther chapter 1, verse 12, I know I'm going through these fast, but my voice is giving out and I have some territory to cover here. Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus, his wife Vashti, he summons Vashti to come and appear before the assembly of people he was partying with, and she refuses. She says, I will not go there. Well, that got Ahasuerus upset, but it also got his advisors upset, and they were giving advice, saying, if you let her get away with this, the word will get out to all the wives in the kingdom, and they'll start doing the same thing with their husbands. They won't respect their husbands. Sometimes we get angry because of being insulted. Those are our reasons. So we're blocked in something we want, we're hurt, we're angry at the unreasonable behavior of another, we're disappointed in another person, we're outsmarted, someone doesn't take our side, we are shamed or embarrassed, we're insulted. Another reason is words sometimes get us angry if someone says the wrong thing to us. Proverbs 15 verse 1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Sometimes we get angry because of regret. Genesis 45, verse 5, you remember the brothers of Joseph had sold him into slavery. Eventually, as things turned out, Joseph was the victor in that situation. And the older brothers felt anger over the mistake they had made and the complicated situation that had arisen. Another thing that causes people to be angry is to be inconvenienced, to be inconvenienced. And let me go back to Jonah. The statement, the question in the title, "Doest thou well to be angry," is the closing segment of the events of Jonah. Jonah had been sent, told by God, go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah resisted. He tried to run away. Eventually, he was brought back, and he goes and preaches to Nineveh, and lo and behold, what does Nineveh do? They repent. They respond to the preaching. God, Jonah didn't like that. He didn't want that. He wanted God to bring the hammer down on Nineveh, and when he showed mercy toward the Ninevites, Jonah was unhappy. So he sits up on a hill, and he watches the city. He's wishing the city would be destroyed, but God shows mercy. And then a gourd appears, grows very quickly, and gives him shadow. And as he has the shadow, he's comfortable. But then a worm comes, destroys the gourd, and it gets rid of the shadow. And then he's suddenly very angry because the comfort that he had with the shadow from the gourd is gone. He was inconvenienced, which is one of the great lessons we can have from this. Sometimes the things we get angry at are trivial and inconvenient to us personally and what we want when we lose sight of the bigger picture. And God's lesson to Jonah was, you're getting angry over this gourd that's gone and you're not comfortable anymore. How about my concern about the welfare, the spiritual welfare of the Ninevites? That's a bigger and more important issue. So Jonah was angry because of inconvenience. And then other things too, and I'll end the result or the list at this point. Too often our problem is to get angry over the wrong things, trivial things, while not getting angry at important things, things worthy of and deserving our anger. Someone making a mistake that interrupts and inconveniences us or our things tempts us to be angry, but avoid this temptation. So anger is because. Number three, anger constructive? Question mark. Is anger constructive? It can be, but it rarely is. That's why you have to be very careful with anger. Very careful with anger. Because anger so often is such a powerful emotion that it can hurt others and do wrong to others, and it's not constructive. Know why we're angry, and then be angry, and then keep it under control. I'm really cautious to say this third point, because if I say it's constructive, somebody might say, well, I can go ahead and be angry. But we need to be very careful. I'll give you two examples. There are many examples of constructive anger through history. When Pearl Harbor was bombed on 7 December 1941, the American people rose in great anger and indignation. They entered World War II and they made a huge contribution to the defeat of Hitler and the Third Reich and of the Imperial Japan. Had America not been angry in that situation, we would have been overwhelmed. We would have been taken over. World War II was won by the Allies because there was a righteous anger that was exercised properly. Now, I'm talking about war here, a terrible, terrible thing. Another example, and I'll give you this example. You remember MADD, MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving? The woman who started that organization was angry because people were being killed by drunk drivers. And she had gotten angry and had enough, and she formed the organization MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which actually had a positive effect upon reducing drunk driving and the accidents, the wrecks that took place and resulted in loss of life. It brought people more conscious of the dangers of drunk driving, and she did a good thing by that. So there are examples sometimes of anger that is constructive, but it is such a dangerous emotion and can be so powerful that it oftentimes is very dangerous. So we're on point number four. Anger must be treated with the utmost care and respect. It can be a bomb that destroys. Anger needs to be treated with great, great care and respect. One of the things you don't want to do is never make a big, important decision, a significant decision, while you're angry. If you have a big decision to be made, don't do it while you're angry. Cool off. An hour, a day, a week, a month, however long, but don't make that big, important, significant decision while in the middle of anger. Let it cool down, and then you'll be able to see things clearly and be able to make a good decision. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and following. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him in the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. So anger can be a very dangerous thing, and be careful what kinds of decisions are handled in a state of anger. Well, there's hope. There's hope for the problem of anger in our lives. Anger is handled by what? Anger is handled, first of all, by being like God. Make it our goal to become like God. Now you say, that's a huge order. Well, it's possible. Our goal should be imitating God, imitating our Lord Jesus Christ and how he handles stressful situations. Nehemiah 9 and verse 17 says, But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness. In Psalm 78 verse 38, Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Another way to handle anger is be motivated by the greatness that is possible if we control our anger. Proverbs 16, verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. You hear that? Isn't that something? The man who controls his spirit and controls his anger, he's greater than he who captures a city. It's Proverbs 19, verse 11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger. If you're motivated to lead, if you want to be a leader amongst God's people, Titus chapter 1, verse 7, speaking of elders, for the overseer, speaking of an elder, the overseer must be not quick-tempered. He must not be a man who's given to getting angry quickly if he's going to be an elder. And then anger is handled by just trying to do away with it with the power of God. With God's power and his guidance and his help, he can help us overcome this strong emotion that we call anger. Ephesians 4, verse 26, Paul said this to the Ephesian church, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." In other words, by the end of the day, whatever anger you're feeling toward a situation, go and resolve that situation so that you don't go to sleep angry. Colossians 3, verse 8, "But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth." But I want to read from James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. James says this, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." So, let us go back to the beginning here. Jesus' anger was always wise, it was measured, it was constructive, and it was righteous. Jesus' anger was never toward a mistake, or toward weakness, or ignorance, or someone who stumbles, but entrenched, unrepentant wrong. Jesus' anger did not keep him from doing good and being merciful. And here's the question for us. Doest thou well to be angry? There is hope for each one of us if anger is a problem in our lives. Now, I have a book in my library which I would recommend. I know the author, Lindsey Garman, Dr. Lindsey Garman. I've known him for years. I'm not sure where he is now. Last I heard, he was in North Carolina, but he may be in Texas. But he wrote a book called Controlling the Fires of Anger. He preached at Three Chop for a brief time many years ago, and he's written a very practical and helpful thing on the subject of anger, if it's something that you all think you might want to study someday. So, anger, something very important. Let me close with this. A few years ago, there was an article in the Times Dispatch called Behaving Badly. Here's the subtitle. Researchers say millions of Americans suffer from a newly diagnosed anger disorder. It's called IED. Now, when we think of IED, we think of improvised explosive device used by terrorists. But here, IED stands for Intermittent Explosive Disorder. Now, I won't read the whole article to you. You could look it up yourself. But it starts saying this, maybe you suffer from something else. Well, got a temper, having anger management problems, maybe you suffer from something else. In parentheses, I would put over suffer from, victim. You're a victim. There are many behaviors that are now being tried to explain away by DNA, try to explain away by genetics. That is, you're born that way. Just kind of the way you are. If you're a liar, you no longer have responsibility. You are born that way. If you're a thief, you were born that way. If you are an adulterer, you were born that way. There are just a long list of things that are now that are being explained by supposedly genetic causes. The disorder is characterized by recurring episodes of anger and often violent behavior, and it could affect as many as 16 million Americans during their lifetime. Let me close with this. He says that this IED, intermittent explosive disorder, is the cause of these things. Anxiety, depression, drinking problems, drug abuse, that's the effect in the article. It's interesting. Anger is something we can bring under control. We are not programmed to be that way. We can bring it under the ruling and the reigning hand of a loving God, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I hope that this little study of anger is something that gets you to think, gets you to consider, and if anger is a problem in your life, there is hope. There is good hope for us. We invite you to become a Christian. We invite you to do what the Lord wants you to do. There is hope, there is forgiveness, there are promises from God. Would you come now, would you, while we stand and sing?
When we walk with the